This is the beginning of class 2.
Third move exists. We got 2 out of 3 so far. Something which is not the sky, which is not blue. Neither A nor B.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, fine. Okay, not the sky, not blue. Okay? So when you don't have a debate at the monastery, you take any two things and say, Mushi Musum Bebe. Mushi Musum Bebe. Say, Mushi.
Mushi
Musum.
Mushi Musum.
Bebe.
Mushi Musum.
Mushi Musum. Bebe. Mebecher means there is none.
Mebecher.
It's a cheap way to start a debate. If you don't have anything, so you know.
For an argument.
If you didn't memorize the text, you were supposed to memorize it something now. Just a way to start. Which means there's no three of the four possible combinations don't exist. Neither do four of the four possible combinations exist. Which is impossible. Between any two objects that exist in the universe, there's always Mushi or Musa. So it's a good way to start a debate. Mushi, Musa, Musa. About anything. So I'm going to start with you. So who's my victim? Kylie. You did it. Well, so, between Gewa, virtue, okay, and cause for Buddhahood. Mushi Musa Mebe Ejim. This keeps the students awake, too. Mushi Musa Mebe Ejim. There's no three or four combinations between something that causes Buddhahood and virtue. Virtue meaning a good deed. Not killing, not stealing, no sexual misconduct, no lying, no slander, no harshness, no idle talk, so no craving, no ill will, no wrongdoing.
So am I supposed to prove to say something?
Mushi Musum Mebe Ejim. I say there's no Mushi and there's no Musum between cause for Buddhahood and virtue.
There's no relationship.
In other words, I'm saying is virtue always a cause for Buddhahood? Mushi Musum Mebe Ejim.
Yes.
Musum Yah. So I say Musum Yah. No, Mushi. You're saying there's Mushi.
Well, can you define Mushi and Musum again?
We'll go to them. Show me the first move. Something which is a cause for Buddhahood, but not virtue. Show. Show means give it to me. Show. Something which is going to get you to Buddhahood.
Okay.
But it's not virtue.
Emptiness.
Huh?
Emptiness?
It's going to get you to Buddhahood. It's a cause.
And is emptiness a cause for Buddhahood?
Ah. Emptiness, church. Is emptiness a cause for Buddhahood? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Ah. You're saying it is. In the debate, you just check. Okay, you're saying it is, right?
It's a path. It's a component.
Yeah.
It's a cause.
Emptiness is a cause or not? I need something which is a cause for Buddhahood and not virtue.
Perception of emptiness is a cause for Buddhahood.
Virtue Mahima. Not virtue? To perceive emptiness? Not a good deed?
It's a result of
it's
virtue.
It's ultimate good deed. Abhidharma says, I can look it up for you, I'm a little lazy.
I would say it's not a deed.
It's the emptiness. Oh, thinking is not a deed?
He didn't say the realization
of emptiness,
he just said
it. Fourth chapter, Abhidharma Kosha. The universe is created by karma. And karma is thinking.
And so, is there karma with an emptiness? There is no karma.
No, perceiving emptiness is thinking.
There is no perceiving.
Thinking is an action. Karma means action.
There is no object and subject in here. There's no.
I always wonder why your hands were always so red.
Yeah. No, hold on a minute. There's nobody who perceives emptiness?
There's no perceiver. No.
Only talking math. So, Yandapetam. There's no Yandapetam? You tell me Yandapetam.
What is that?
Sure. What is your number now?
Correct you.
Emptiness is the object. Yonapitawa is the subject. Yonapitawa holds emptiness. I used to make that mistake all the time. Emptiness is what you're looking at, and Yonapitawa is the looker.
Yeah.
It is the state of mind which sees it.
The correct view is the state of mind.
Sure. And it sees it. So the perception of emptiness is definitely a good karma.
The act of proceeding.
Is it a result of a good karma?
It's also a result of good karma, but it also is good karma.
And then it produces good karma.
Normally. Except what?
Except for
all
okay.
Present good karma.
Present good karma?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It has not produced anything.
Like,
it is good karma. Okay. Anyway, now give me a mu. I'm still waiting. Something that causes Buddhahood, but it's not a good deed. Thinking a good thought, the ultimate good thought, perceiving emptiness, is definitely a goodness. Not a virtue.
Okay, so what if there is a mind?
I don't think there is. I mean, I would say no. Okay? I'm talking with you. I mean, technically, samsara causes Buddhahood because it perceives it and produces it. That's another point. Okay. So, there is the first move. First mood exists, okay? That which is, I'm sorry, the first mood doesn't exist. That which is a cause for Buddhahood but not goodness doesn't exist. That Gyawa Yimba. Sangeki Gyawa Yimba. Sure. How about mood number two? That which is not.
Can you say that the very fact that there is a condition of non goodness is why there are Buddhas?
Yeah, well. Let's leave it at that. We have to finish my eternity. Okay, something which is goodness, but not a cause for Buddhahood. You know what you must?
Something which is goodness, is
not a cause for Buddhahood. Let's do faith.
Doing something that's good, but not doing
the answer. That's pretty close, actually. That's pretty good.
Like a good deed is not.
A good deed, which you do, without understanding, without your mapital, it's not a possible. So that's a common misconception. You can do good deeds that don't cause Buddhahood, that will not lead you to Buddhahood. They will lead you to the opposite, which is what? What we call samsara, which is this suffering life. Samsara is the condition of having these, we call satyakipumunga, these parts that are impermanent. Flesh, bone, dirty mind, okay, dirty conception. That whole thing is samsara. It's a cause for that. So what makes all, what do you need to make dewa a cause for Buddhahood? Move number two. Please show. Show.
What do you mean?
Sangye yimba?
Dewa yimba.
Yeah, show me the third move, which is what? No, what's the third move? We're going to have two parts.
Yes, both.
Yeah, that which is both what?
Marriage and virtue.
No, that which is both a
virtue and
a cause for Buddhahood. That which is both a virtue and a cause for Buddhahood. That which is both a good deed, meaning a good deed of mind, speech, or body, and is also a cause for Buddhahood.
Compassion.
Not necessarily. Have compassion for your child. It won't lead you to Buddhahood. It's a very tricky question, very important question. It's okay. Basically, you can say the move here is any gewa, any good deed which is imbued with the lamsa namsa. Any good deed which you do under the influence of lamsa namsa. Any good deed you do under the influence of lamsa namsa. You must have all three. Any deed you don't do with those three thought attitudes in your heart will not be.
Would that be called
correct motivation? Sure. Lamsa namsa, sure. Give me lamsa namsa. Good. Yeah. Okay.
You don't have correct view already. That's why you're studying. Buddhism, right? So right. Somewhere along the line,
most of what you do won't cause you to be a Buddhist. Most of, even the good deeds that you attempt are not going to make you a Buddhist.
So you really don't even start becoming a Buddha until after you understand correctly.
Right.
Even though you're pretty called much a Buddhist and you're practicing Buddhism and Mahayana Buddhism.
Like the six perfections, you actually have to have number six before number one is perfect.
Oh, I think they were all combined.
If you do charity without knowledge, it's not a perfection. There's a big debate about it. There's a big debate about it.
I once asked a question on whether you should do one as opposed to another, and the answer was that they were all combined in each.
That's another approach. Yeah.
Okay. Then, I just became a Buddhist today, and I have no idea what the correct view is or anything like that.
Right.
And I sat through a nice class where I heard some of these things, and I got to study for years before I could even understand.
No, you can understand.
Wait a minute. All right, let's just say then we talked about blue skies in Buddhist class, right? But at the end of the class, the teacher said, you know what, you want all this virtue, you got some virtue here, but now you want to make it specifically dedicated to achieving Buddhahood. So we said it's dedication prayer at the end. Is that a cause, even though I don't understand yet? Correct view.
Not really.
No.
Not really. If you don't have those three attitudes in your mind, they don't directly act as a cause.
Although it is a cause.
It can act as a factor.
Yeah. Although it is a cause to attaining some better goal, although not Buddhahood.
Yeah, it doesn't directly make you
supporting.
It doesn't act as a direct cause. But again, I'll say yes. Again means factor. Like fertilizer for a plant, but not the seed.
Yeah.
Okay. So then does it become a full cause for the first or second plant?
Something like that. It's not worthless, right?
Right.
I mean, if this class didn't cause you to get the lumps and lumps, then you wouldn't be here. Okay. Okay, so that's very important. If you're not doing good deeds to get out of this suffering, to help other people, ultimately, and with the understanding of emptiness, which is difficult to learn, will not cause you to become a Buddha. It won't happen without those three attitudes.
Interesting.
I used to think that any good deed would help. But not necessarily. That's why we did the debate.
Okay. So Michael, can you define Wushu Wushu? Is that basically saying neither, both, one and not the other?
Yeah,
neither and not the one.
A but not B. B but not A. A and B. Neither A nor B. That's
Mushi.
All two objects in the world have either four or three moves. There is no other choice. The permutations are only three or four.
One or two?
No, there is no such thing. Everything in the world is either Musum or Mushi. It exists. The relationship between two existing things in the world is always Mushi or Musum. You give me an example of one or two next week. Okay.
A not B, B not A, A and B, and not A, not B.
Right. And it's great for debate. And it's great to understand something. It's a very useful tool for understanding.
But you have to define the term. That's what people confuse people. Unless they define their terms,
you're
talking about
terms. Yeah, usually. We're not talking about the same. Okay. So the question is, everybody get that?
So Mushi Mushu Musum is the name for that whole concept of three.
Yeah, three or four common names.
That's the name of the concept.
Three or four possible permutation, really, but that's a good word.
We just write down the transliteration.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah,
and I will do a little bit of alphabet. Do you guys want to do some alphabet? You guys want to do some alphabet? I mean, no? Seriously not? Are we anti-Tibetan here or just
lazy?
We are the English track, you know.
Well, I'll plant some in your brain and then I'll sneak in some alphabet. Okay, please say Chakya.
Chakya.
Chembo.
Chakya.
Chakya.
Chakya. Chakya.
Chakya. What's the transcription? Chamba.
Mahatma
Gandhi. Atma means person. Maha means the big man. Gandhi. Maha. You know what Chagya means? Kali.
Gesture.
Yeah, that's it.
Mahamudra?
Yeah. Hayata chan. Ta with a ya slips up two rows and becomes a cha.
What is mudra?
Mudra usually means a gesture. Like this is a mudra. But it has many, many other meanings. It also means a seal that you put on. You know when you send a letter and you put the wax, put a stamp. The H strengthens the ga in Greek, and it's going to become mega. Mega, magnitude, magna carta, all came from Maha. Mahamudra. Mahamudra. Basically refers to the direct perception of emptiness. The direct perception of emptiness. In our school.
The great gesture is the great perception.
Great seal. It is the
direct perception. Do you call it a seal or gesture?
I call it seal.
You call it?
Yeah, of emptiness. You can perceive emptiness through my explanation in this class, during this class. But you can only see emptiness directly in deep meditation. In fact, you can't even be in the desire realm at that time. Your mind has to be on the next level.
Just we have this distinction between the realization and perception of emptiness and the experiential, experience, that direct experience of emptiness, would be tantric and would be...
No, I don't know. I can't talk about tantric much. Don't know much. Okay.
I thought
Mahamudra was it can refer to a tantric term, and it can refer to sutra. In sutra, it refers to direct perception. Sutra meaning non-secret Buddhist, as opposed to tantric. So I ask you, if you meet some great tantric master, some great master of the secret Buddhism, and he teaches you Mahamudra, okay? Can you give me Mushi Musum about practice of Mahamudra and Lamsa Musum? Tantric practice, highest Buddhist practice, and Lamsa Musum. Mushi Musum, maybe. Tell me about the first one. If there's something which is the practice of Mahamudra, but the person does not have Lamsa Musum, he does not have those three realizations in his mind, but he's still trying to do Mahamudra. Mushimusum maybe is. Is there the first one? And is there the true practice of Mahamudra? Is there true tantric practice? Without those three things in your mind? Impossible. Why? Tantra is the Dributikva, which means result vehicle. Okay? Tantra is the result. What's the gyu? What's the cause of tantra? Not only. I mean, you can have direct perception of emptiness and not have bodhicitta. Sure.
So then you can
Chas.
Mahamudra without absolute emptiness.
You just said it.
Gotcha. Tom is more tough. I'm more ashamed of yourself. Gotcha. As a practice, as a Mahayana practice, no, it's possible.
In other words, our perception of emptiness
can only be actualized
through our lamsa nam.
Not our, I mean Buddha's lamsa nam.
Well, there's other, but other people's correct view. I mean, are there other kinds of tantra that can be?
No, there are not other kinds of correct view or other kinds of.
There's no other kind of tantra. Any other tantra that asserts itself
any tantra that
the Buddhist Mahayana tantra is inauthentic.
Right.
Hindu tantra.
It's not tantra. Anyway, is that Sangha? Anyway, don't worry about it. What I'm saying is that tantric practice is a result that occurs because you have lumps and lumps. If you had lumps and lumps perfectly, for example, if your morality were perfect, if you kept those plain old 10 good deeds perfectly, tantra would occur to you. Your life would begin to, you would begin to seek it, whatever. And in fact, that's the only way. There is no other way. So if you try to do Chagya Chenpo, you don't have, for example, if you don't have those 10 virtues very good, nothing happens. Nothing.
Well,
Papa tells you before you take a tantra initiation that you must have at least some understanding. I mean,
sure.
That they explain that to you very quickly.
But I mean as an actual experience to yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about getting instruction in it.
Mm-hmm. You're making the distinction between a person who may have gotten some initiations and who may even be practicing, and maybe even for years, the difference between that person and somebody who has actually made progress to the point where they're experiencing it, whether they've been practicing for years
right.
or not. That's the difference. You can do it your whole life and still not get it, think you have it.
Yeah, you can do it your whole... What I'm saying is, let's put it the opposite way. If you practice, if you get some high initiation, and nothing happens within a year or two, you don't have lots of lumps. That's why nothing happens. Let's put it that way.
But on the other hand,
the
fact that a tantric initiation has appeared in your life is an indication that possibly you have lumps and lumps.
You have some good
feelings. Or at least, if not having it, you're getting in that direction.
Yeah, no, obviously. You have the honor to attend an initiation, even if you don't know what's going on. What I'm saying is this, and I repeat it. Lamsa Namsum is the cause of tantra. Tantra is result vehicle, meaning it happens to you. Why? Because you have Lamsa Namsum.
What is Lamsa Namsum in English?
Where's your quiz?
In the tree path?
Yeah.
Okay.
She wants to know Okay. You gotta have all three. Alright? And what I'm saying is, you know, you read these books and they say, oh, you gotta have these three. But that's the point. Tantra is the only way you're gonna become a Buddha in this life. It occurs to you if your lamsa namsum is pure. What's the converse? If you don't have lamsa namsum, it's impossible. Nothing will happen. And you see lots of people who say, I interviewed 30 people. I have some people, I have a list of their tantric initiations with like 3-4 pages long. They say, but nothing's happening. I mean, nothing, no lumps and lumps. If you have lumps and lumps, something will happen quickly. And if you don't even know what they are, forget it. Impossible. You know? Much less practicing. And if you do practice them, you don't need to take a lot of initiations. Take one, boom, something will happen. Chakya Chambu. So Chakya Chambu and Lamsa Namsum, Moshi Musum?
Actual Chakya Chambu and actual Lamsa Namsum, yes.
How many? Moshi or Musum? Can you have tantric practice without the Lamsa Namsum?
No,
she's right. She's a computer expert. She's already figured it out. She's A is out. B, C, D we have. B is what? Chakya Chambu. Yes. During the causal period. Before you get the result. And then number three, that which is both. Good tantric practice. That's when you're trying to practice the tantra. You have those three in your mind and things start to pop. Things really start to happen. And neither? We call Lama Shibikanta. Lama Shibikanta. Lama Shibikanta means a person who doesn't care about religion, he's not interested, he's not doing well for nonsense, forget it, it's a waste of time, make money, whatever. Okay. Alright, Sakya. Next. Help you with your homework. Please say tap.
Tap.
Shira.
Shira.
Tap.
Tap.
Shira.
Shira.
This is the method. I'll give an example of tap. The monastery, we wanted to start a computer project, so we told the monastery, give us the 30 worst kids in the whole monastery. The ones that will never become geishas. They gave us the 30, you know, delinquents. And they were a rough bunch of kids. And we put them in a room and we said, we're going to start a computer project. You'll get rich. And we're only taking 20 of you. We're kicking out 10. We're going to do a training program and we're going to kick out 10 of you. So then we did Bob Taylor and Peter training program over there for, I don't know, 4 months. And every kid got up to 50 words a minute. Touch type. In Tibetan. You know? And then the monks came to me and said, tapke, tapke. Skillful means. Tap. Now that's a tap. Tap means some kind of method that you use to
finagle.
What my boss would call manipulation. you know, you're doing something and it works out. And they did get rich and they all tapped.
What happened to the 10 of them?
We kicked them off.
50 words at all.
Yeah. 55, 60
words.
Well, what we did was, every time one dropped out, it got sick, we had a backup. Tough. And shit up wisdom. In Lhasa Namsum, what's the main tough? Well, let's go this way. These are the two causes for Buddha. Okay? The two main causes. Tough and shit up. To become a Buddha. You can see it on page, it'll be in your reading this week, page 36. These are the two main causes to become a Buddha. What he's trying to say is that you must have Lhasa Namsum to become a Buddha. He just proved that you needed it for tantric practice. He also just proved that you needed it to do any kind of good deed at all which is relevant. And now he's proving that you need it to become a Buddha. To reach your ultimate goal, you must have these two. You must have these two. Okay. Shira refers to wisdom, which means, which one of the three do you get?
Whose turn?
Which one? Yeah. Which in Tibet? Yangdape Thawa. Right? Yangdape Thawa. Okay. Shira refers to Yangdape Thawa, which basically means the understanding of emptiness. It can mean. That's a lower kind of Yandapa Thawa. The highest kind of Yandapa Thawa understands emptiness. There's a lower Yandapa Thawa, which is called Jitenbe Yandapa Thawa, which refers to the understanding of karma and emptiness. Okay. So that's wisdom. What do you think tap is? Method. How does the Lhasa Namsum build? Yeah, mainly Changsan. Changsan. Okay? The wish to become a Buddha. Wanting to be a Buddha. Why? Why should you want to be a Buddha?
To get out of this life? To help
you can do that in just with Nirvana. Nirvana is lower than that. Then you're out of this life.
To help people?
Yeah, to help other people. Cannot help other people really until you're a Buddha.
In Nirvana, you
can't
help people?
Not much.
Why not much?
You don't. A Buddha can really help because he can read their mind, he can see their future, he knows everything. He knows their past for a million years. He can help. He can really help. We can't help. We can teach a limited way, or you can give people food or something like that, but not a big help. Not like that. So, tap refers to the desire to become a Buddha.
Desire to become a Buddha.
Yeah. Changsan. That's exactly what it means.
Lopeng Chao Juna Bixi, Rangi Gong, so Chang Chi Yin, Dima. So then the Chang Chang Chi Chi Yin. You can have a Kiva Chen.
I thought desire was something to be demanded.
Jehovah Chapel could not share. Have it from our car. Desire to help our people. Big debate. Big debate. Okay. There's good desire. Method. That's the method. So where does the Ninjin fit into all this? Can we get rid of Ninjin? Is it only lumps or numb meat? Where's the Ninjin?
Well, you can't get rid of it.
Well, it's only, if you have these two, you can probably become a Buddha. They call it the two wings of Buddha. If you have two, you can fly.
Mm-hmm. But how can you have those two then?
So we got Yonabita, correct view, fit into wisdom. And the desire to become a Buddha, to help other people, fits into method. So what happened to renunciation?
Can it be both?
What?
Wisdom.
No. It is a kind of wisdom, actually.
Right?
To what?
To have anything.
Yeah.
To
it's a preliminary to what?
Wanting to become a Buddha.
It's a preliminary to the to Changfeng. Why? Why is renunciation necessary to get bodhicitta?
Because you often have to put other beings before yourself, and if you don't,
you know. Well, that's not a bad answer.
Because your motivation would be.
If you think the world is great, what do you need the Buddha for? Or what do you
see? Anything like that? You're all close. Basically, it's this. If you are not concerned about your own suffering at all, how can you be concerned about others? It's impossible. It'll never happen. If you don't believe you're in trouble, you won't go breaking your neck to help others. Impossible. You won't do it.
I mean, isn't it more basic than that? If you don't realize you're in trouble, why would you do anything
right.
to help yourself
right.
or anyone else?
Right. Same thing.
Yeah. No, you say go around helping other people.
Yeah. Why would you bother if you didn't think you're in trouble? Why should you go run out and try to convince other people that they're in trouble? You won't. Then you won't be convincing because you don't believe it. Renunciation is a prerequisite for Changfeng, for bodhicitta. You must have it. So these are called the two great causes of Buddhahood, achieving Buddhahood. And method assumes the first two paths, and wisdom assumes the third. So you're starting to see that all the causes for Buddhahood are included in what? Lamsanam. Are you hot?
No.
No. You guys
are. I can't
hot.
Hear, but.
Can't have everything. Okay. So, two basic causes for Buddha. Right? You must have that. What does that mean? I mean, when we study emptiness, okay?
Let me study.
And I'll just tell you briefly. My perception of me right now is that I'm a normal human being. I see myself as a normal human being. Maybe if someone else were a very good person, they might see me as a deity. Okay? As an angel. Okay? They would be correct from their point of view. I would be an angel. Maybe they think everything I say is something very holy. I see myself as a normal person. The emptiness of it is that I'm neither one. By myself.
You used to use this example in class too. Isn't this really a bad example? Because, I mean...
Wait, hear me through, and then if it's a bad example, correct.
Well, we already talked about it. You said it before.
They didn't hear it.
All right. Okay.
So I'm empty. Let's say I'm empty because this person sees me due to their goodness, and it happens. They're good enough to see me as a very good person. I know who I am. Who's correct? Nobody's clear. I mean, it's what they see and it's what I see. What's really there is neither one. If I practiced renunciation and love for others, if I truly cared about other people and I worked very hard for others, the karmic result would be one. I mean, if I gave up my ultimate for other people, what would be the karmic result?
More
money. They would be doing it back to me.
No.
The actual cause for me to see everyone in the world being absolutely pure for me is to actually have chanting for them. That's the karmic cause for that. And on that day I'll become a Buddha. So sure, we'll talk about it. We have 5 years.
Hopefully.
Leave it at that.
Yeah, and you're confusing me here.
It's okay.
Can I just make
this brief here? After
class. Seriously, after class. You've got to
let me win sometimes. I'm the teacher.
No, I'm trying to help you win big here.
Okay, now. Maybe it will come.
See, Schnooks is angled.
Okay, please say. Chuku.
Chuku.
Suku.
Suku.
Chuku.
Chuku.
Suku.
Suku.
Okay. What does chur mean? Dharma. Dharma normally has two great meanings. It has 10 technically, but two are the most common. One is the teachings of the Buddha, Buddha Dharma. And the other is just thing, existing object. Yeah, there are countless dharmas like this. The world is a dharma, Empire State Building is a dharma. Your happiness is a dharma.
It's an object?
Yeah, object. That's a synonym for dharma, actually. Yul means object, and that's a synonym for dharma. Thing, existing object, or teachings of the Buddha. Two big meanings of dharma. Gu means what?
Body.
In Sanskrit?
Gaya.
So this gu also means gaya. I mean, what's the Sanskrit? What does soup mean?
Enjoyment?
Huh?
Enjoyment?
No.
Happiness?
No, that's sukha. That's Sanskrit. Soup means form, physical.
In Sanskrit, rupa.
I'm about to talk about it. Sa. Gaya is a disturbing word. I mean, it used to bother me. There's four bodies of a Buddha or two bodies of a Buddha. I mean, what does he do with the one body when he's walking around the other body? No. It just means part. It just means part. It doesn't mean he has like four bodies running around. Okay? Part. P-A-R-T. And there are two great, the bodies of the Buddha can be divided into two, or three, or four. Okay. There's a big debate at the end of the Abhisamalankara, the eighth chapter, which you study in your 12th year of Geshe studies. And they debate whether, because the Sangha only mentions three or four, why did he only do that? And Dharmakaya refers to two parts of the Buddha. His mind. Okay. His mind. Which knows everything at all times. It knows every object that ever existed, every object that will exist, every object that exists now. Everything in the universe at the same time. Simultaneously. And has the unique quality of being able to perceive emptiness directly and still perceive emptiness conceptually at the same time. He can see usual normal objects, and he can also see the ultimate object at the same time. The only being who can. Big debates about how does he do it. Okay. Harder than you think.
This is both.
Yeah, at the same time. His finger sees them. Okay, that's another debate.
His what?
His finger, his little finger sees all objects. Difficulty. Dharmakaya. Long story. Dharmakaya includes another part, which is the emptiness of the Buddha's mind. The emptiness of the Buddha's mind.
as opposed to the mind.
Right. The quality of his mind of emptiness. Every object has emptiness. About 30 years. It comes up in the discussion of Bhattikata.
Buddha nature. Emptiness of mind.
That is Buddha nature. That's what they call Buddha nature. Now, Rupa Kaya, which is the physical body of the Buddha, has two parts. You know what they are. One is we call his enjoyment body.
Is that like
Sambhogakaya? But you don't need to know. It's confusing.
Sambhogakaya is the enjoyment
body. Mongchu. Yeah, and that means the physical body of the Buddha in his own paradise. Okay? In his paradise, which has five qualities, which you don't have to know now, you'll learn it later. He's in this paradise that he lives in. The other part of his physical body is the one that he pretends to show on earth.
When he has an image.
Yeah, the manaka, the motion picture body. That's the one he shows to people when he comes to this planet. He's just pretending. He's still up in his own paradise.
So the Sambhogakaya is not an emanation either?
No.
No.
It's not technically a truth.
Then there's only one Sambhogakaya at a time.
We're divided in the figure.
Michael, emanation body is a demonic.
Yeah, demonic. Man means to. I think the man in emanate probably comes from your man, to send out. No, don't worry about it. I don't even watch. All you have to know is Dharma body and form body. Dharma body?
Form body includes both the enjoyment right. body and the emanate.
Right. And Dharma body includes both intimacy and his body.
And there could be many. Monica is
there's a big debate in the Abhidhamma. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll study how to do a tulku, and the state of mind in which you can do a tulku. That you could do a tulku. That you could show yourself to somebody on 40th Street, somebody on 39th Street. Okay. Dhamma body, form body. Why did I bring them up? Each one has a specific cause. And that's again on page 36. But you don't need to know. By the way, that's the last big thing you need to know, so don't worry. Or one more. So don't get overloaded. But that's what a class is for. To challenge you. I want to push you. No, I want to. No, I have to. Otherwise, you can come to the cookie class Friday night. I threaten you with that. Cookies and coffee. Quite a nice class.
By the way, Michael, is that you're doing the...
By the way, we are doing the Lama Rinpoche.
Lama Rinpoche.
Very fantastic. Very, very fantastic. Friday night. We're doing the death meditation for Lama Rinpoche. Very beautiful. Really?
Yes.
Kitok.
Kitok.
Sunam.
Sunam.
Kitok.
Kitok.
Yeshi Kitok.
Yeshi Kitok.
Sunam Kitok.
Sunam Kitok.
Okay. Yeshi means wisdom, same as Shirup. Is there any difference? It's debated in the Abhidhamma, and you'll get there in about your fourth year. Yeshi means wisdom. People struggle to give them different names. It's just wisdom. Yeshi Kitok. Sok, you know, Kylie, what's a sok?
The collection or assembly.
Yeah. When we do a big prayer for some of our rituals, it's called a sok. Sok means a lot of things getting together. Yeah, gathering, collection. A lot of things getting together.
Accumulation, okay?
Yeah, you can say that. I call collection sometimes. You can say anything. Sunam you've had already tonight. Good deed. Virtue. Merit. Suna means merit. By the way, the ki means of in both cases. Of. And in Tibet, you always read Tibetan backwards. So, Sunam ke tsot means collection of merit.
You read these words backwards. You read a whole line backwards?
Yes.
You do.
Pretty much. Syntax is pretty much reversed. It's object, verb, something. To the store, where it's back. Doing things throughout your life to collect more knowledge, to gain more understanding, is the cause for chukku. I'll say it again. Nishiketsop is the cause for chukku, mainly. Okay? It's understanding, it's knowledge that gets you chukku.
Intellectual knowledge?
Yes. Mainly. Three levels. We'll study. That's right, to find your course. By the way, something very interesting. There's nothing you're studying now. What I'm teaching you now is a structure into which everything we ever learn will fit. And I'll be saying 4 years from now, remember back in the first class in the hot days of 93, we talked about Nishiketsop. Well, this is what, this goes into that. This is a structure that you will use your whole 5 years. Nishiketsop, which means gaining knowledge. Knowledge is the cause for the chukku. The wisdom of a Buddha. The omniscience that you will have when you become a Buddha is caused by the knowledge that you already have. Part of the yeshi of the chukku you have now. You have the Buddha nature. Buddha nature, your Buddha nature is not the Buddha inside you. It's a wrong idea. There is no such thing. Okay? It is the emptiness of your mind. It is your Buddha nature. And we'll study that. It's a big misperception to say that Buddha nature is somehow Buddha within you and you have to reveal, you have to make it shine or uncover it or something like that. Completely wrong. No such thing. And we'll study it.
We'll say the emptiness
of your mind.
Of
your
mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It is your Buddha. And it will not change, and you will have it. It's the only part of you that you'll still have when you become.
What do you mean
it's
not sort of covered by negative D and there's a
way. Dumb. No, that's right. I love when you love this bitch. No, and you, the purpose of doing a 5-year course is that 5 years from now, you can get in a debate and somebody's saying, 8th chapter of Abhisamankara, Asanga, quoting the Buddha. No, so what do you mean? What are you talking about?
So,
you know.
So then, the emptiness of your mind is the same as the emptiness of a Buddha's mind.
Pretty much. The basis is different. It is a quality of a dirty state of mind right now, assuming you're not a Buddha. And it will be a quality of a pure state of mind, but it will still be the emptiness of Tanka's mind.
So how can it be caused?
Not caused, please.
We just said the wisdom collection is the cause for it.
I said mainly. Also, this has two parts. What was the other part? Not just the Buddha nature, but his state of mind. This is a cause for that state of mind.
Right, that's fine, but it's not necessarily the cause for the emptiness of it.
Correct. Correct the mind. That's why in debating, you always say chiefly, mainly, pretty much. Gets you out of everything. Sort of. Sunakitok is the collection of merit, good deeds, and mainly towards other people. Right? By definition, a good deed is mainly done towards others. And a bad deed is shinir shida chepale, which means anything that hurts others. So to do a good deed is mainly focused towards other people. Mainly. And that's the cause for the physical body.
So you're defining merit only as those good things that are accumulated along with the understanding of emptiness, or the two kinds of merit? Staying merit and merit that we just...
Well, since I started out the class saying that you have to have lots of emptiness in mind to do real merit, but that's enough. Don't get too far ahead. Collection of good deeds. You must have to achieve this. A Buddha must have these two parts. All Buddhas have these two parts. Those two bodies. Those two physical bodies. Yeah. But these two parts, if you draw a line this way. The reason you're in this class, hopefully, is to get these two parts. You want these two parts. You want your physical body to change. You don't want this kind of physical body anymore. It's a drag.
Is it possible to attain Svodhika or Manika separately? Yeah.
And it's a big subject. It's a vast subject. It's the 8th chapter of the Abhisamvikara. You know, what is it like, the final few moments before you go into Buddhahood? It's incredible. It's like reading science fiction. And it's very, very deep. And the questions are many. Questions are very difficult at that point. You know, how does a Buddha think? How does he perceive two totally different kinds of objects at the same time? And it's covered there, and we will do it. And it's very interesting. It's really interesting. What I'm saying is, in the future, you must have this physical body of a Buddha. It's like a diamond. It's not like our bodies. Okay? It's very much like a diamond. It's called spook, but not jumbo. It's not matter, but it's physical. Okay? Very difficult question.
But when we talk about chokus, which means manikaya,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you can only have the two together, then that means that all chokus are omniscient.
Yes, technically.
But they,
yes.
But I mean, is that...
Were you about to say they're not?
Does that mean that every you know, chokus is a Buddha?
Technically, they call this Chokichoku means the supreme chokichoku, the highest chokichoku. Like Pabongka Rinpoche in Sera Monastery right now, the one who's there now, we refer to as Chokto Rinpoche, Chokto. And the chok means highest, which is the chok and coin chok, which is distinguishing him from other chokus. It means
so,
there are chokus.
Since there is a distinction, that might imply that there are sometimes...
Yeah, there are
people with
right.
Choku who don't have
choku. No, there's people who have the ability to do eight choku, but this suku refers to choku, the ultimate choku. Suku in this case refers to the ultimate choku, choku.
Okay.
And
so it's possible for there to be an emanation body in this world without there being a Sambhava Gaya body to back
right.
it up?
Right, but that's not choku.
Right.
That's not that's not a Buddha showing himself. If I attain a certain level of singing din, samadhi, I can make a choku. I can make myself appear at my workplace. And that way I wouldn't have to get up and do it.
But you said it wasn't possible to attain the samadhi without samadhi.
Highest in samadhi. That's what we're debating.
So then all chokus have some other body somewhere else that's emanating it, or...
All high. Yeah, no, right, you're right, yeah. Yeah, that's... We'll get into it in the Abhidharma question. And I say that what I said last week. Now I forget this class I made. If you practice the Lamsangamsa, you do not have to die. If you really do them well, you will experience a different reality. You can achieve the sukha only through lamsanasa. You must have lamsanasa. And that's the whole point. Along with that, you've got to have chukku. Chukku meaning the knowledge of the Buddha. You will reach a point where you know all things. You'll be good to know it all.
So, can we say definitively then that the collection of wisdom is the cause for the Buddha's mind, but not necessarily the cause for the emptiness of the Buddha's mind?
Right.
You can say that.
Sure.
So it's not a cause for the two
no,
up
no.
there, it's a cause for one of the two.
Right. Technically. But I would debate if you're in a monastery and say it is the cause for one.
So emptiness is caused by something.
Well, I would say if the emptiness of the Buddha is mind, the emptiness of my mind. Is the emptiness of Michael Rhodes Buddha the emptiness of Michael Rhodes non-Buddha? No.
So then you're saying that there's different qualities to emptiness.
It's a big debate, and I won't get into it. You've touched on a big debate. We'll do all of these, don't worry. You're still here. You can. And then you know it deeply. You not only know what it means, but you know every possible question about it. And that's actually the approach that I prefer. And that's what we'll be studying. And then people, you know, you hear some stupid thing that somebody says, and you say, that's not true. I can show you the book. This is a sangha. This is Shakyamuni's text. You know, what are you talking about? And there is a correct position that we have that's true and makes sense and it works. Shuku, about to repeat, to get these two, which you must get, you must have lumps and lumps. You must have lumps and lumps. Without lumps and lumps, you cannot get these two. Without getting these two, you have to go through this life the way it's going now, assuming you're not a Buddha.
Why must you have these two?
Ah! Go and have a cookie and a tea. Think about it. Of the three principal paths, meaning the three principal attitudes, which one do you think causes wisdom? Which one is causes wisdom, which causes your mind? Yeah. Okay. So this is Yang Gapitala. You must have Yang Gapitala. You must have the third path that we're going to study to collect knowledge. And you must have knowledge to be able to think like it. Gain knowledge. And that's what this is. And you will understand precisely how to make this happen. Period. You will understand exactly how it happens that you will become a Buddha. And then you can do it. I tell you that. I swear it. You just consciously, normally, without any great, you know, blah, 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 you just understand how it works and then you go do it. Knowledge. What they always call wisdom, you know, sounds like some mystical thing. It is just knowledge. And you can learn it in a class. You can learn it. And you will know how to make that happen. And then you just go do it.
But this is what I'm offering.
Seriously. You just understand what you're doing and you can make it happen. I swear you can do it. Just what you call knowledge. This whole thing, wisdom, transcendental wisdom. Just knowing what you're doing and you can make these things happen. So understand emptiness clearly. Understand bodhicitta clearly. Make it happen. Get the result. Get minor results every month. You're satisfied. You see things happen. If I teach you and that doesn't happen, then quit. Okay? Seriously. Right? It will happen. If you just have to know it clearly. Then sunam kitsot. Sunam kitsot is good deeds. What do you need for sunam kitsot?
Bodhicitta.
We should become a Buddha for other people. Working for other people. Helping other people. Must have it. To get that, you must have what? Nothing.
To get that.
You're studying it. By the way, I say, to get that. To get that what? How?
What did you
mean? How?
Meditate.
But just think about it every day. It's a very obvious and almost too obvious. If you don't think about renunciation daily, and if you don't record your own thoughts about renunciation, you can't ever get it. You never will. If you don't have a daily exercise of thinking about renunciation, there's no reason to expect it should occur. It will not occur. So it's kind of silly. It's kind of... What would cause it? Without doing it on a daily basis and writing down, oh, I have this thought, then what would cause it? Why would it come to you if you didn't do something on a daily basis? It just won't come. So this whole class is useless if you don't do something on a daily basis.
Well,
it's
writing down as
well. I find it very useful to write it down. If I'm meditating on renunciation, I write down the three specific thoughts I had today that were closest to renunciation.
This is apart from the separate meditation.
That is a meditation.
Right, but it's not sitting down for 15
minutes. It is. When I sit down to write, that's a meditation. I'm reviewing my day and I'm saying, these are the three thoughts I had. These are the three times that renunciation came into my mind very clearly today. Or close. Okay. At the beginning, it's all close. Okay. We don't really have renunciation. We say, okay, today at 12 o'clock, I saw my boss's wife. No, I saw the guy that I started the company with, and I found out he had stomach cancer. And it occurred to me that this is where we're all headed. And just for a second, I had that vision that all these guys walking around, all the politics in the office, you know, what does it mean if this guy... who's the founder of the company, just got stomach cancer. He's taking his radiation treatment. He is. So what does it mean? What's the use? You know, I didn't get as big a loss as he did, which did occur to me today. then you record your three offices. I find it very useful. Actual instances. It's very useful. This kind of a dim, fuzzy meditation. Oh yeah, we're going to finish. It doesn't work.
Then you record what?
The three thoughts you had that were the farthest away from renunciation. And do this for next week. This is part of your homework. It's on the homework sheet. Okay. Record every day the three thoughts you had that were closest to renunciation. Closest to thinking, oh, this is all great suffering. I don't want this. Like you're working with people who have physical problems, right? So you look at them and you see some old lady and you think, oh, Judith's going to be like this. Okay? She will. Or your grandmother. Okay. But this is Judith. After a while, I'm going to be like that. That's renunciation.
How about mentally pain?
Jeff, you should think about how bad it is. Yeah. That's renunciation. And then the opposite is to think of three cases where you were thinking about the bigger offer. Seriously. When you have the opposite of renunciation. This is very effective. If you don't do this, you cannot get the three principles. It's impossible. What would cause it?
it seems to me this is where the whole mystical concept of this Tibetan Buddhist approach is. It's like there's this wisdom floating around, there's this renunciation floating around, and somehow mystically it all comes together and sits in your lap.
It won't happen. It can't happen. There's nothing to cause it. So it won't happen. You can learn the whole mystical wisdom stuff quite dry in 5 years in a class. Then you can go out and do all the mysticism you want, and it will happen. It will really happen. And anything you want will happen. And you study, every day you keep those stupid three little things. It takes 5 minutes. And then you make progress. You really do make progress. And it will work. And do it, try it. It's part of your homework. If you don't do it, you're out. You have to do it every day.
Is the opposite to like enjoying the sunset?
Yeah. Enjoying these stupid things. Three cases where you truly got wrapped up in something that's as fragile as a bubble. You know, Shakespeare said, you know, about reputation, fame. You know, it just pops one day. The guy is gone. You know? What happens if you've ever been in a big company and there is this tyrant who was the most powerful guy in the company, and then he had a heart attack. The next day, his desk is empty. 3 days later, there's some guy sitting there. It's all over. The guy's gone. It happens in every company. It happens every day. It's weird. Okay, last thing.
Michael, you didn't say why you need both those to attend to be a Buddha. Why you need both the Dharmakaya and the Buddha?
It is what a Buddha is. Those are the two parts of a Buddha. There is nothing there is no part of a Buddha that doesn't fit into those two. What I'm trying to prove is that you need those three attitudes. You can't get those two parts of Buddha without those three attitudes, period.
But you can't have Rupakaya without Dharmakaya?
No. Well, we just talked about it. You can emanate yourself before you become a Buddha. But we don't call that the Rupakaya. It is a tukku, but it is not the tukku.
So that's not
Buddha
food?
No.
Oh, okay.
And are there Sambhogakayas that don't happen to be emanating as Nimanakayas?
Right now?
Yeah.
That could be because, I mean, in theory it could be. If there's no one ripe to meet a Nirmanakaya, then the Nirmanakaya cannot appear to them. We are not ripe enough to meet the classical Nirmanakaya. We didn't have enough goodness to meet Shakyamuni.
Because if we did, we wouldn't be sitting
here? No. Just historically, it didn't happen. I mean, in our day, there is no Shakyamuni.
Oh, you're not saying that you weren't there at that
time? Right.
Oh, what? She drew it out.
She drew it
out. Yeah, I lost her.
Getting clear about it, it's up.
Okay, please say shejit.
Shejit.
Ninjit.
Ninjit.
Shejit.
Shejit.
Ninjit.
Ninjit.
Okay. She means no. We had shira a few minutes ago. No. Knowledge. Jit means obstacle. When you have a stroke in Tibetan, it's called dripse. To get an obstacle. And sometimes a shadow is called a jit. Eclipse is sometimes related to jit. Any kind of block.
Shadow.
I call it bad thought. I just like to make it simple. You will study all these definitions. You will know precisely what they are. Recover it. It'll come. It comes in the perfection of wisdom scriptures that you'll study. In anything we're talking about, you will study 20 levels now. Fantastic.
And also, does it have to be thought, or is it just something that's mental? Could it be bad feeling? Well,
no.
It's really cognitive.
We'll get into it. That's another subject. You will spend one whole class on the 50-something functions of the mind. Then I'll answer you. You'll spend one whole course on it. It's called learning. These are the two great obstacles. All obstacles break down into these two. This one mainly prevents you from reaching nirvana. Definition of this kind of obstacle is an obstacle which mainly prevents you from reaching Nirvana. And this is an obstacle which prevents you from reaching full Buddhahood. Nirvana and full Buddhahood are a lot different. Big difference.
You're talking about Nirvana for
yes. Muslim.
You mean that an obstacle to omniscience?
Yeah, same thing. Total knowledge. Why do I say this? The state of a Buddhahood, the Chang and Chang Chu, the Sang and Sang Ye, the very word Buddha, the very word Bod, Bud, partly refers to getting rid of these two obstacles. Okay? The cleaning part of the word Buddha refers to these two obstacles. If you get rid of these two obstacles, you're a Buddha, period. Okay.
If you get rid of these two things.
Yeah, then you're a Buddha. That's why you're called even a Buddha. That's why the Tibetan is called Buddha Sangye. The Sang means to clear out, clean out. Get rid of these two obstacles. Why did I write them here? You cannot get rid of these two obstacles without which one of the three factors? Yam Nakadal. You must have a perception of emptiness. You must understand emptiness to get rid of these two obstacles. Otherwise impossible. And then you can't become a Buddha. You can't become a Buddha. Cannot. If you don't have it. Because you can't get rid of these two obstacles. You can't get the Sang and Sangye, you can't get the Bodhi and Bodhi. Impossible. Just impossible. What happened? Can I help?
You need just only correct will to only correct will?
You can't have real correct view without the other thing.
No, Michael, when you say real correct view, what you're meaning is the ability to perceive emptiness directly.
Yeah.
And that which leads to it.
Chungun Jesup Dhamma Chepa. First Satya. Wisdom and it. And the things that lead up to it, as you said. Shedip and Yinyu. These are the reasons why you need the three principles of path. So next week I'll ask you, can you think of any Buddhist practice that doesn't fit into the three principles of path? Anything not covered by the three principles of path? Tell me next week.
Any activity?
Any part of Buddhism that doesn't fall into the three principles of path?
Individually, not necessarily collectively.
Right.
This is a Nirvana might not fall into Bodhicitta.
We have to say Moa. That's the third thing you have there. Okay. The third thing in your notebook. Next page. Third white page.
Sasi Bhagi Jusine Tatsang Vira Vinci Nyende Yampati Sange Shindu Mite Uwahi Joku Nanda Shimba
Class 2.